Chapter 1, the beginning of my story. The Bible says that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible also says that if we believe in the Lord, He will order our steps. Little did I know then as a young child that God would give me two of the greatest assignments in my life to represent Him as an American soldier serving in the Holy Land in the defense of the nation of Israel during the Gulf War, and later in life with the opportunity to serve as a laborer in His vineyard. Serving in the nation of Israel, protecting the skies over Haifa, Jerusalem, and Tel Aviv against Saddam Hussein's dreaded Iraqi Scud missile attacks with our prized Patriot missiles made us watchmen over the skies of Israel and the protector of the children of Father Abraham. This was a divine assignment ordained by God. Not only was this assignment a blessing to us, but also a blessing to the children of Father Abraham as well. Amen. It was April 15th, 1991. By this time, the war was over. I was on a returning military flight to Germany, looking out the airplane's window. I was taking my final look at the beautiful scenery overlooking the historical city of Tel Aviv. The Spirit of God gave me confirmation that I am a blessed man because of my service and the protection of His children. The Bible clearly does say that God told Father Abraham that I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. I was glad to be on the blessed side of God. God has given me the authority to tap into His divine favor ever since I left Israel after the Gulf War. I believe by faith that every American and Dutch soldier that defended the nation of Israel against Saddam Hussein and his Iraqi Scud missile attacks had also been granted the blessing of Father Abraham. Amen. Let me begin my life story by saying that falling in love with God at an early age was the greatest decision that I had ever made in my life. My first thoughts of God began at the age of 5 on November 22, 1963. This was on the day that President Kennedy was assassinated. I could not understand why our president, a Christian man who believed in God and the most powerful man in the world, was assassinated. I wanted to know why. I first asked my parents. They did not know why either. So I asked God. I can still remember the moment that I asked God why, but I wasn't sure if He even heard me or even answered me. Probably because I didn't know how to listen to His gentle whisper back then. This was the beginning of my father and son relationship with our Abba Father. 5 years later, at the age of 10, I was saved and baptized by His grace and mercy. I knew deep inside me that my steps had been ordered, protected by God. The Spirit in me knew that I was going to join the military. I also understood spiritually that this was a career path that God had chosen for me. God allowed me to make the decision to either serve in the Army or the Marines. I was really leaning toward joining the Marines because of their beautiful uniforms and their proud history. However, I felt deep in my spirit that the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, and Navy had a proud history in war and peace too. But the Army was a branch of service that I felt I was perfect for. So I chose the Army. It was early in my military career when I discovered, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I could serve in the military and represent Christ at the same time, no matter where I was stationed in the world. I felt the power of God that had anointed me to both a soldier and a representative for Christ. The joy of knowing who I am in Christ and who I represented allowed me to be both an anointed soldier in God's army and a good soldier in the greatest army and country in the world. Both assignments I always did to the glory of God. My childhood best friend, Brian Harden, who was also my blood brother, had the perfect backyard for running around and playing games. Brian and I, along with several other kids in our neighborhood, would play Army all day around Brian's front yard and backyard. We were armed with our fake machine guns, rifles, and grenades. We used our voices to simulate the sounds of guns firing and the sounds of grenades exploding in the air and on the ground. We would also battle with our G.I. Joe toys and our plastic Army soldiers that we would move around in position with our hands for battle and on small dirt hills and sandboxes. We would play Army so much that Brian's mother would come outside on the extremely hot days with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with Kool-Aid and ice cubes to cool us down. On some of the other days, it would be lemonade with cut up lemons in the glasses. She was the greatest mom and would function as our general. She would order us to come on their back porch to take a much needed break from the hot sun. Being good soldiers, we did what our general ordered. We would then get in a single file military formation and march like soldiers onto the porch. We took the much needed break from the sun, joked around for a little bit. Then we would immediately return to playing army again. We had so much fun playing together back then. We called ourselves the Little Hillside Berkman Street Fighting Soldiers. We all talked about being soldiers when we grew up. Speaking of being a soldier, we had in our own neighborhood a former military officer. Mr. Warren Mark Henry lived across the street from my family. He was a second lieutenant in the Army Air Force during World War II. Mr. Henry was my first hero. I was proud that he was a Tuskegee Airman, and it's worth mentioning his achievement in service to our country. We also had three other servicemen from my neighborhood that planted the seeds in my mind about joining the military when I graduated from high school. Mr. Jay Hall, who lived two houses down from me, was at the time an officer in the Army Reserve. Mr. Naaman Gray, who lived four houses down from me, was a master sergeant in the Air Force Reserves. And my uncle Alfred Morris, who lived across the street from me, he had recently retired from the Air Force as a master sergeant. I enjoyed talking to each of these men about their experience in the service. They all agreed on the same thought, that joining the military would give me the necessary discipline to be successful and would be the best opportunity for me to get ahead in life. Each one of these brave heroes was proud to have served our country in war and peace. I was proud to have known all of these men. I was proud and loved seeing Mr. Hall and Mr. Gray in their military uniforms as they prepared to go to their monthly reserve drill meetings. I knew then that I wanted to serve my country like my four military heroes that I watched while I was growing up. My hometown of Plainfield, New Jersey had a Memorial Day, 4th of July, and a Veterans Day parade. And Brian and I would make it our mission to go downtown to see these parades. We would wave our small American handheld flags and cheer loudly for the military men and women as they marched by or passed by on their floats or on their military vehicles. Every year, Mr. Gray would take me and his son, Butch, to McGuire Air Force Base to see the air shows. It was amazing to see all the different aircrafts that were on display, and those aircrafts that were doing fantastic acrobatic maneuvers in the air show. The Army also had helicopters, tanks, weapons, and other equipment on display from Fort Dix Army Base, which was next to the Air Force Base. I was also impressed to see the Air Force and Army men and women walking around in their military uniforms. I noticed the Army soldiers always had on starched uniforms, spit-shine boots, and really looked sharp. While the Air Force airmen uniforms were not as nice, and their boots never shined. I think seeing the sharpness of the Army soldiers helped me decide that I was going into the Army after high school. It was 1968. The Vietnam War was raging on. Brian and I would always ride our bikes around our neighborhood. There was a funeral home that was on the main street, a couple of blocks away from our neighborhood, that could easily be mistaken as a haunted house. It was located on one of the corners that we would pass by every day. It seemed like at least three times a week, especially around 11 a.m. on the dot, that a funeral service was being held. Some of these services were for servicemen killed in the Vietnam War. I remember seeing the flag-draped caskets of the young men killed in the war that were returned home to their grieving families and friends. One of these funerals had the casket of a young teenage soldier from our neighborhood who was also killed in the war. We were hurt and sad. I remember us looking at each other and asking God the question why he and so many other young men have to die in this war. We would get off our bikes, stand at attention, salute with our right hand like soldiers do, and we would watch with pride as their caskets are ushered into the funeral home by military pallbearers. They would step in unison to the voice of the sergeant that was calling the marching steps as they marched in. Each time there were honor guards with their neatly pressed uniforms, black spit-shine boots, rifles, and the shiny helmets that were posted outside the funeral home in honor of our fallen heroes. Brian and I would get back on our bikes and go back to riding around again. Sometimes we would return at the end of service as they marched out the funeral home. There was also a father named Sergeant Jackson, who was from our neighborhood that was killed in the Vietnam War too. My sister Yvonne was a friend of his daughter Kim. It was a sad day when we heard the news. The hippies and the flower children were protesting the war. There was Woodstock, which occurred in 1969 with the purpose of spreading unity and peace. 400,000 young people from all around the United States went to New York to camp out for 3 days at Woodstock to show their support for peace and for racial gender equality, with the main goal about being heard to help end the Vietnam War. I bet Brian a pinky bet that Jimi Hendrix was playing his guitar there too. I won the bet. The war draft was going on. The less fortunate young men and the poor folks with less money were being drafted for the war while the rich were staying in school, if they could, with the purpose of avoiding the war. I also can remember that there were high school seniors from around my neighborhood that were purposely failing the one class that they needed to graduate from high school. They knew that failing this one important class prevented them from graduating and keeping them in high school and being ineligible for the draft. They remained high school seniors for 3 more years or until they reached the maximum school age of 21. There were other ways that young men took to avoid the draft, like leaving family, friends, and home by going to Canada. They understood that they could never return home. They could be jailed if they returned home because they were considered draft dodgers.